Tonight's shir is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Amor, and the title is The Permanent Light. So tonight we're going to look at the idea brought down with regard to the menorah of a Ner Tamid, which we also see in the Beis HaKnesses as well. So we're going to look at the Psukim. It's in the end of this week's parsha. It's Perek Chaf Dalet, Pasuk Aleph through Dalet. So I'm going to read through the Psukim first, and then we'll look at a different approaches as to the idea of the Ner Tamid, the concept of having a continuous permanent light in the Mishkan or the Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaMikdash, sorry. So if you look in source number one, it's Vayikra Perek Chaf Dalet Pasuk Aleph. It says, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. Tzavis B'nei Yisrael V'chui Lecha Shemen Zayis Zach Kasis Lama Or Lahalos Ner Tamid. So command B'nei Yisrael that they should take for themselves pure olive oil in order to create this permanent light. Michutz leparuches haidus ba'ol moed yaruch oso aron me'ervad boker lifnei adoshem tamid chukas olam adoros eichem. So we're in source number one, pasuk gimel. So it says that where should this take place, this ner tamid? It should take place outside of the paruches, right outside of the kodesh hakadoshim, in the ol moed. That's where Aaron every single day, from the evening to the morning, he should arrange the neros, in order that they should be their tamid. And this is a law for all generations. And it says, Al menorah Torah yaruches haneros lifnei Hashem tamid. On the pure menorah, the menorah that's tahora, the neros, the candles, the wicks with the olive oil should be arranged lifnei Hashem tamid, before Hashem tamid, all the time. So the Torah introduces the mitzvah of lighting the menorah candles in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. And in doing so, there seems to be a common theme of Ner Tamid, or the idea of Tamidus, of it being constant. And if you look in Pasuk Beis, for example, it says, Lahalos Ner Tamid at the end of the Pasuk. And if you look in Gimel, it says, Lifnei Hashem Tamid. And in Dalet, it says the same thing, Lifnei Hashem Tamid. So the question is, what's the concept of the Ner Tamid? What is this candle that was lit all the time? What's the concept? What's the philosophy behind it? Why was it necessary? And what does it even mean? What's it referring to? So if we look in Rashi, in source number two, Rashi quotes a medrash from the Gemara, and this is the first insight into what the concept of a Ner Tamid is. If you look in source number two, it's on Pasuk Beis, it says, Tzavis B'nei Yisrael. So Zu Parshas Mitzvah Sanero. So Rashi says, in introducing this piece, that this is really the Parsha, the paragraph, which teaches us the Mitzvah of Neros, of lighting the Neros of Menorah, U Parshas And when the candles are mentioned earlier in Shemos, in Tetzaveh, that's just teaching you the purpose of the menorah, that the purpose was to light these candles, but the mitzvah to light the candles are being brought down in our Parsha and Emor. V'chein mashma, v'ata sovcha l'tzavos espenei Yisrael al-kach. And it sounds like this from the Parsha from before, from Tetzaveh, where it sounds like in the future you will command B'nai Yisrael to light the menorah. So Rashi distinguishes between our Parsha and Tetzaveh, and he says that in Tetzaveh, the mentioning of the Neros is simply there to teach us the purpose of the menorah, but over here it's teaching us the mitzvah to light the candles of the menorah. Okay, so he says Shemen Zai Zach. We'll try to explain that a little think later in the shir. But he says Shemen Zai Zach Shlosha Shmanim Yotzim Min Hazayis. So there are three grades of olive oil that comes out from the olives. Harishon Karui Zach. The best type, the first type, is called Zach. It's the purest form of olive oil. Vehein Befurashim VeMenachos VeTorus Kohanim. So it's mentioned in Menachos and Torus Kohanim. And Tamid Milayla Lalayla Kimo Olas Tamid Sheina El Miyom Liyom. So they would light it, or it would stay lit from one night to the next night. Okay, so we're going to see what that means. L'paruchas haidus. Now this is the key Rashi. He says, Shalifnei ha'aron. So where was the menorah lit? So the menorah was placed in front of the paruchas, which is before the aron. Shehu karu edus, which is called edus. The aron, which is held the luchos, is called edus. V'rabosenu darshu al ner ma'aravi. So the drasha is that this is referring to the ner ma'aravi. So when it says michutz l'paruches ha'idus, what does that mean? What is that referring to? What's michutz l'paruches ha'idus? It's the ner ma'aravi. It's the western candle. Shehu idus l'chol bay olam shashchina shora b'Yisrael. That this candle functioned as a testimony to everyone in the world that the presence of Hashem was bestowed or was present amongst Yisrael. Shenosin ba, how did it do that? Shenosin ba shemen kemidas chavruseha Umimena haya maschil uvaha haya mesayim. Uva haya mesayim. So they would place in oil into the Ner Maravi, into this Western candle, and it would light all the other candles, and also from it was the last one to be finished, to be cleaned up. So we're going to go into the Gemara with that, try to explain just factually what that means. But there seems to be a drasha here that this idea of Ner Tamid, the concept of Ner Tamid, is a reference to the idea of the Ner Maravi. And this Ner Maravi, this one candle on the menorah, would always be lit, and it would be lit. I'll show you from the Gemara, and it would be lit, and you would light all the other candles from it, and also it would be the last candle, and that would blow out, or that would be burnt out. Okay, so that's what the Medrash teaches us. So the question is, what's the idea? And it's in order to teach the world, the Chol Bayi Olam, that the Shechina is Shorei B'Yisrael. So of course, another question on the Rashi is, not many people saw the menorah, it was inside the Heichal, so how did it function as an Eidos for the whole world, for the Chol Bayi Olam, to this concept, to this principle? Okay, and of course, why did it use this nest to define or to express this idea? So finally, let's just keep going on in the Rashis, and then we'll get into more detail as to how it worked. So it says, Yaroch oso Aaron mi'ervad boker, Yaroch oso aricha haru'uya l'midas kol alayla v'shiru chacham chatzi lo g'chol ner v'ner. So how much olive oil would they put in? They would put in the shiur, the measurement called a chatzi log. V'hein kedai afla lele t'kufas teves u'midazu hukva lohem. And it's enough olive oil that it could last all night, even when the nights are longest in Teves. So even in the month of Teves, where the nights are longer than the daytime, so they gave enough olive oil, they put enough olive oil in the candles in order that they last throughout the night. So Hamenorah Tahora, Shehi Zav Tahor. So what does it mean that they would place the candles on the menorah Tahora? It was made out of pure gold. Davar Achar Atahara Shel Menorah, Shemetaro Medashna Tchila Mina Efer. So the other idea is that they would clean out the candles. They weren't wax candles, but of course they were olive oil with wicks. They would clean them out every single day, and then it became tar, or it was pure, and then they would reuse them. So the main point that I wanted to bring out in Rashi, or the main idea, is this drasha of the concept of the Ner Maravi, that it was that's Eidos, and somehow it functioned differently than the other Neros of the menorah. So the question is why? Why did the Ner Maravi function differently? How did it function differently? What's the concept behind this miracle that it was always lit? So let's look in the Gemara in Shabbos, in source number 3, and then we'll look through Rashi and we'll come out with the first idea in the Shir. So if you look in Rashi, sorry, in the Gemara in source number 3, it's Shabbos Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis, and this Gemara is similarly in Menachos also as well. So it says Mesiv Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes objected. Michutz leparoches haidus yaroch. So he quotes our pasuk from our parsha, and it says that outside of the paroches, the cover of the edus of the testimony yaroch, that's where they should be arranged. V'chila ora hutzarech. So do we need the or? Do we need the light of the candles of the menorah? V'halo kol arbaim shana shahalchu bnei Yisrael b'midbar lo holchu elo laoro. So when the Jewish people were in the midbar, they didn't need the candlelight of the menorah. They had the ash. They had the fire that would lead them, and they also had the anan. So they didn't really need, for a functional purpose, the idea of the menorah in the Mishkan. So what was it there for? Ela edus hi l'boy olam. So rather, it's an edus. It's a testimony to everyone in the world. Shashchina shor b'Yisrael, that the Shechina, the presence of Hashem, is amongst Klal Yisrael. So my edus, what is this edus? Amarav zu ner maravi shenosin bas shemen kemidas chavrusel mimena hayamadle guvayim esayim. So you see that Rashi is pretty much quoting this Gemara directly. And what is this edus? What is this testimony that the Shechina dwells amongst Klal Yisrael? It's the ner maravi. That is the ner, that is the candle that produces or that emphasizes the idea of the Shechina. So how does it do that? So let's look at Rashi over here, just to get some more insight or more facts, and then, like I said, at the end of Rashi, we'll see a little more information. So Rashi says like this in source number 4, Ner Maravi. What is the Ner Maravi? That's the question, one question, factually. So there's a machlokes on which one it was on the menorah. Lamanda Amar b'menachos Mizrach u'marav munachin seder akanim kari maravi ner sheni shebetzad achitzon. So according, there's a machlokes. Which direction was the menorah lined up in? So one side holds it was lined from east to west. So if it was lined from east to west, which candle is considered west, the Ner Maravi? So the answer is it was the second candle coming. When you came into the Heichal, it was the second one. meaning it was west to the most easternmost candle. Shehu b'mizrach, it was in the east. Ulamanda amar tzafon v'darom munachem, but if the menorah was arranged from south to north, north to south, so if that was the arrangement, emtzai kari maravi, the middle one was called the maravi. Al shem shahu piv kenegin marav, because the mouth of the candle was facing the west towards the aron. V'chol shar haneros klapei emtzayos, and all the other neros faced the middle one. Dichsiv el mul pnei menorah dahinu emtzai yairu, so they all faced the middle, and the middle one faced the aron, and so the middle one was the Ner Maravi, Shel Tzafon Hayu Ponos Ladarom, Vishadarom Ponos Latzafon. Okay, so they would all face the middle candle. So just factually, this whatever this idea of Edus is, so it was based on the Ner Maravi. So what is the Ner Maravi? So there's a machlokes in the Gemara as to what it was. Was it the second candle? It depends on the arrangement and how the direction of the menorah. If the menorah was east-west, so it was the outermost second candle. But if it was south-north, it was the middle candle. So if you have a good, perceptual mind, if you're good at 3D perception, so I guess you can envision it. But basically, it's a machlokes as to which candle it was. But either way, this candle had a special significance, a special meaning. So let's try to figure out what was that meaning. So if you look in Rashi, he says, Kemidas Chavuseya, so skip the next one. He says, well, how much did you put in? Chatzi log shiaru ba lelele tkufas teves agdolem, vim yidlak biyom belelos haktsarim yidlak. Right, so they would put in the same shiur, the same amount into every candle. It was a chatzi log, and it was enough to last the whole night of a long night. But even in the days that were shorter and the nights that were shorter, if it was lit, it would remain lit. So they would never put in less than that amount of olive oil, lest it blow out in the middle of the night on Teves. They wanted it to remain lit throughout the night. So all the candles were lit throughout the night. But the special candle, the Ner Maravi, was unique. So it says, Uvahaya Mesayim. So in the evening, you would light all the other candles from the Ner Maravi. And uvah yamisayim hatavas anero shadala kol yom ve'eno metivo ad ha'erev. So all the other candles you would clean out in the morning. So they would remain lit throughout the evening, and then you would clean them out in the morning. But the one, the Ner Maravi, would stay lit throughout the day till the next evening, and then you would use it to light all the other candles, and then you would clean out the Ner Maravi. So the Ner Maravi was unique in the sense that it lasted longer. Very similar to Ner Chanukah, but it almost continuously lasted. It was a Ner Tamid, it lasted all the time, meaning most of the candles stayed lit throughout the night, but then they went out in the morning, and by morning time, they would clean out all the candles, and they would relight them the next evening, and it would stay lit till the next morning. But the Ner Maravi would not only stay lit all night, but it remained lit throughout the day till the next evening, and then they would use it again, they would relight off of it, and then they would relight it. So it was this continuous candle, the Ner Maravi, that was the source of all the light for the other candles, but also it itself would last the longest. So that was the uniqueness of the Ner Maravi. So if you skip down in Rashi, we don't have to read this long Rashi over here, but just one more point in Rashi. So he says over here at the bottom, he asks a good question. He says, about three lines up from the bottom, the Hadam Rinan Beseder Yuma. So it says in a Gemara in Yuma, Hatavas Chamisha Neros Kodem LaHatavas Shnei Neros. So it says in Yuma that they would clean out five Neros before the last two Neros. Mashma Kulu Hava Metiv Shacharis. So it sounds like they were all cleaned out in the morning, including the Ner Maravi. The Yalef Lomikrai, they learned out from a Pasuk. So the answer is, Hainu B'Shaloh Haya HaNes Miskayim. So that was only when the Nes wasn't Miskayim, it wasn't fulfilled. V'Haya Motzao Shekava, Shekava, if you found the Ner Maravi that it blew out, so, and it wasn't, the Nes didn't occur that night, so of course you would clean out all the candles and you would relight them in the morning. D'lo Samach Kra Anisa. So the Psukim don't rely on a Nes. V'Chol Zman Shayu Yisrael Chabivin. So as long as Yisrael were beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Hashgacha was with them, Hayadole Kolayom V'Hainu Edusa. So it would be lit all the daytime, and that was its edus, that was its testimony. So Rashi, just one last point, Rashi says that the Ner Maravi, the Nes was, there was a Nes, that it lasted longer, it's similar to Chanukah, but it lasted longer than it was supposed to. But the idea is that it didn't always occur like that, and sometimes it would blow out, And there were times when the Jewish people had to relight it. And one of the times I think the Gemara mentions is when Shimon HaTzadik died. And the Psukim don't rely on Nisim. So in general, if you found the Ner Maravi that it was blown out, so you'd have to treat it like the other candles and you'd relight it at its normal time. But typically there was this nis, there was this miracle, and it functioned as an edus, as a testimony that the Shechina was Shor B'Yisrael. So again, the question is, what's this idea of the edus, and how does it reflect it in the Ner Maravi? So that's the question. Okay? So I just want to start the shiur with one idea, one possibility for Rashi. If anybody has any ideas or any possibilities they want to share, so please do so. But I think the main question, one of the main questions I was bothering myself when I was learning this, is what does it mean that it's edus l'chol baya olam? What does it mean that it's an edus for everybody in the world? I mean, it's not like the whole world is actually going to the mikdash and or the mishkan and staring inside. In fact, the menorah was kind of concealed. It wasn't in an obvious place. It wasn't outside. So what's the idea? How did it function as a testimony l'chol baya olam? So what's that concept? So I think the idea is that a testimony l'chol baya olam can be learned in two different ways. One is that it itself is the first way, which doesn't really make sense, that it was really meant that other people would see it and then they would reflect on the idea of the Shechina being Shor B'Yisrael. But the other possibility is that the nature of this nes was such that it was something that appealed to all of humanity. It wasn't just a nes, because there are many nisim in the Mishkan, and there are many nisim in the Beis HaMikdash, and the whole idea of the nisim reflected the idea of the Shechina. So why is this one specified or emphasized? So the idea of the Chol Baya Olam is that it's the type of nes that appeals to everybody. It's the type of nes that doesn't just appeal to a certain ethnicity, or it doesn't appeal to the Jewish people, to Klal Yisrael, and it's not just an idea of Hashgacha that appeals to a certain personality type or to a certain background, but it's a type of nes, it's a type of miracle that when a non-Jew, even when anybody, when any human being hears about it, and they think about it, so they should think about the idea of Hashgacha. They should think about the idea of a divine intervention, of a divine connection. So the idea of the Ner Maravi being the idea of its Tamidus and that miracle being an Edus, the Chol Baya Olam, is not that it's meant for everyone to see, but it's the idea that it's the type of miracle that appeals to everybody. It appeals to the basic emotions of humanity, the basic emotions of human beings, this idea of a continuous light, of man not needing to light it on his own, but it being provided for man, is something that appeals to everybody. It appeals to the human entity, the human being as a whole, and that's the idea that it's Edus L'chol Baya Olam. So the idea, the concept is that in the Mikdash, of course, the whole base of Mikdash is an idea of the Shechina being Shor. It's the concept of Hashem relating to Klal Yisrael. But in this Nes in particular, there is an idea of Hashgacha as it relates to Klal Yisrael, but in a way where it appeals to all of humanity. It appeals to the most basic drives of the human being as a whole. So any person, if you told this miracle to and they understood it, and they understood that it occurred, would reflect on Hashgacha. It would produce an idea that God is there, or that God's presence is there, that there's a relationship with Klal Yisrael. Not every miracle could do that. Some miracles only appeal to Jewish people, to the Klal Yisrael, but this one appeals, this type of miracle appeals to everyone. So that's the idea of the Ner Tamid. It's the concept of reflecting the Shechina, that there's a special nes here, that there's Hashgacha and there's a connection between Klal Yisrael, but it's done in a way where it appeals to humanity as a whole. So I think that's the idea. And why it's a fire, there's many different ways you can speculate on it. And it could be that one idea I was thinking of, but I don't want to say for sure, but one concept or one possibility is that fire is something that's, even like in primitive man, it's an idea of survival. That man looks at fire as a basic entity of survival, a basic unit of survival. And the concept is that over here, the fire is not, it's not necessary for man to produce this fire, but it's the idea that God is producing the fire continuously, and man, it doesn't need, he's almost reliant on God in his survival. There's a relationship and a connection in man's survival to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's providing us with the fire. But that's just more of a speculative, but the main idea that I wanted to share is that idea, that the nature of this nes is a unique nes. It's a nes that appeals to humanity as a whole. It appeals to everybody. If anybody hears about this or knows about it, so they'll reflect and think about the idea of the Shechina being Shorah and being connected to Klal Yisrael. It appeals to the emotions of the human being as a whole. So I think that's the idea. But a lot of the different approaches, I think, also show insight into this idea of the nes of the Ner Maravi. And the Gur Aryeh has the Gur Aryeh, I think it was the Maral, so he has a different approach than Rashi, but it's also I think it's really a beautiful approach. So he says as follows in source number 5. So Parocha Saidus V'Rabosenu Darshu Al Ner Maravi. So the drasha is that it's referring to the Ner Maravi. Like we said, it's the universal idea, the appealing idea of that nes to universal human being of the idea of Shechina. So Hiksha Haram. So Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, who is another one of the Achronim, but he comments on Rashi, has a question. De'echis yashev l'fiya medrash l'paroches ha'edus, she'ena paroches paroches l'ner ma'aravi she'nikra edus. So how do you get from the idea of paroches ha'edus that it's referring to ner ma'aravi? Because the paroches itself didn't function for the ner ma'aravi, and the paroches is called edus, not the ner ma'aravi. Gam lekalamemar de pirusho michutz leparoches yeh ha'edus be'olamoid. It doesn't. You can't say either that the way to learn the pasuk is that outside of the paroches should be the testimony. Why? Shezelo yitachin. This is not a. It's not. You can't learn this way. Sharei halamed b'shva. So if you look at the grammar, it says leparoches ha'edus. Doesn't say michutz laparoches ha'edus. If it said michutz laparoches with a patach or a kamatz, it would mean that the edus is outside the paroches. But when it says le paroches edus, it sounds like edus is qualifying paroches. So that's his question. Im kein milas le paroches, he smucha le edus. So the word of paroches is connected to edus. So the Gur Aryeh says that the term edus, testimony, is referring to the paroches. It's not referring to the ner maravi. So how do you learn the drasha in the Gemara and Rashi? So he says ve'ein zekashya. So he says it's not a question. Why? Shenikra haparoches paroches aedus mipnei shu al aron shesham luchos aedus. So why was the paroches, which was the covering, or it was the sectional covering between the Kodesh Kodashim and the Heichal, why was that called the paroches aedus? Because it protected, or it covered the aron, which held the luchos ha'edus. The luchos, the stones that Moshe brought down, were called the luchos ha'edus, and the paroches functioned to separate the aron from the rest of the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan. Shehem edus ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'en Yisrael. So the luchos really function as a testimony to the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. Why? Because the luchos go back to Har Sinai, and that's really an idea of when the relationship was built between the Jewish people and God and Hashem. Af hukshalahem lama hutzrach lemuchtav kan leparuchas aedus. So why? What's bothering the Rishonim and the Rashi and the Gemara is why does it have to say leparuchas aedus? De le'el beparshas titzave in titzave and shmos ksiv michutz leparuchas bilvad. It just says leparuchas. It doesn't say paruchas aedus. Elish akasav kan leparuchas aedus. So why does it say? Why does it call the paruchas a paruchas aedus here? The paruchas of testimony. The al yedei ner hamaravi shemimenu hayamaschil ubo hayamisayim nira shehaparoches hu paroches ha'idus. Through the ner hamaravi, it appeared or it made the paroches or turned the paroches into a paroches ha'idus. Sharei haluchos shenikraim luchos ha'idus, the luchos which are called luchos ha'idus, ein raya mizeh shaluchos heim ha'idus. There's no raya, there's no proof that the luchos themselves can function as edus. Diminolon da shchina adayin b'Yisrael. How do we know that the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem is still there? D'shema ein od hashchina b'Yisrael. Maybe the shchina and the relationship isn't still active. Ach hashta al yidei ner maravi nira shaparoches hu paroches ha'edus. V'haluchos heim edus ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'en Yisrael sharei adayin hashchina b'Yisrael. So the Gur Aryeh has a beautiful approach. He says that different than Rashi. So Rashi says that the Ner Maravi itself is the sign, the testimony of the Shechina being dwelling amongst Klal Yisrael. But the Gur Aryeh says you have to learn the grammar of the Psukim. And what's the purpose of the Ner Maravi? The Ner Maravi was there to make the Paroches into a Paroches Aedus. Meaning that without the Ner Maravi, there would be no insight, or there would be no awareness of the connection through the luchos of Klal Yisrael to Hashem. And the Ner Maravi, it kind of turns or gives the paroches a certain function. The paroches now functions as emphasizing the edus, the luchos edus, and the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. The Ner Maravi, it sheds light on that. It's supposedly the Ner Maravi is outside the paroches, and the paroches lacks in its function, as well as the aron, without the Ner Maravi. So the Gur Arye wants to say that it's not that the Nirmar Ravi is the Eidos, it's really the Luchos that is the Eidos. But really the Nirmar Ravi is necessary in order for a man to be aware of that relationship, for a man to be thinking about the Aron. And the Nirmar Ravi being lit all the time outside the Paroches, it gives man insight and it gives man awareness of that relationship of the Luchos, which the Luchos embodies, of Klal Yisrael to Bnei Yisrael. Sorry, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Bnei Yisrael, excuse me. So it's beautiful. The Gur Arye is very nice. He says that's the idea. It's not the Ner Mar Ravi. The Nes of the Ner Mar Ravi is simply there to lead us to an awareness of the Luchos, of what the Luchos represent, but it itself is not alone. It doesn't alone produce an idea of the Shechina being Shorah, as opposed to Rashi, who says that it does. Okay? So if you have one other approach, the Rambam, and then the last, we'll close up the Shir with the Ramban. We'll finish up the Shir with the Ramban. So the Rambam is fairly simple. He has the simplest approach. The Rambam in source number 6. It's in the Mor Nevuchim. It's Chelech Gimel Perek Memhe. So what's the idea of the Ner Tamin now? What's the idea of this Ner Maravi in the Rambam? So it says, Echad, Achar Shashem Echad V'hu Bara Elu Harabim. So once we know that Hashem is one, which is a premise that he's, and he created everything. V'achar Kach Husama Menorah Lefanov. So there is a menorah placed in front of him in the Beis HaMikdash in the Mishkan. L'chavod ul'sifares l'bayis. It's in order to create a respect and a beautification of the house. Ki abayis shedolek bo haner tamid hanistar b'paroches yeshlo b'nefesh mala gedola. So when you have the house that's lit by a candle all the time, it produces a great effect in man, in man's soul. Ukfar yadata chiza katora be'emunas gedolos hamikdash v'yirasa. And the Torah emphasizes the importance of Klal Yisrael's viewpoint of the Mikdash and having Yira and awe of the Mikdash. Ad she'agia la'adam midas ha'anava v'achemla v'rachas ha'levav k'shir ehu. So it's supposed to lead a person to having humility and kindness and a certain softness of heart when he sees the Beis HaMikdash and when he's in awe of the Beis HaMikdash. V'amar mikdashi tiro. It says that you should fear and be in awe of the Mikdash. Okay, v'samchu b'shmir Shabbos l'chazik yiras ha'mikdash. So why is shmir Shabbos put next to yiras ha'mikdash, which we did last week? In order to emphasize the importance of yiras ha'mikdash. So the Rambam says one other point, and I was thinking of an example. So when the idea is that when you turn, let's say you have your closet light on, when you look for your clothes, you turn the light on in your closet, and then after you leave, you turn the light off. So what's the problem with that? So the problem is that when you turn the light off in the closet, you kind of forget about what's in the closet. And the turning the light off is a sign that you're not thinking about it. It's almost a sign of forgetfulness. And the idea is that the mikdash, you always have to be aware of it. That the concept of having a constant light being on is the idea that man has to always be aware. It can never be something that's forgotten in the mind of man. So that's the idea of the Ner. It's kavod l'sifaris to always have the Ner being dolek. Why is it kavod? What's respectful about having a Ner tamid and having a Ner always lit in the Beis HaMikdash? It's the idea that the Beis HaMikdash can never be shut out or shut down or closed off. It can never be forgotten in the mind of man. So man has to always constantly be aware of the Mikdash being present, and the Ner dolek, the Ner tamid, produces that awareness in man. Okay, so that's the idea of the Rambam. So one last approach, and then we'll finish up the shir. So one last approach is the Ramban. And the Ramban, he gives a different approach than Rashi, but also a beautiful idea in menorah. So the Ramban is in source number 7, and it's on Pasuk Beis. Tzaves b'nei Yisrael, zu parshas mitzvas haneros. U parshas ve'ata tetzave, lo nemra elo al seder melechas ha-mishkan, lefarish torech ha-menorah, v'chach mishma'a ve'ata sofcha letzavos b'nei Yisrael, kach loshan Rashi. So he quotes Rashi, the Ramban. He says, "Ve'enenu nachon ve'enai." So he argues with Rashi. He says, "This is not so in my eyes." She'ena parsha he smucha the parsha samenorah. So this parsha isn't next to the parsha of the menorah. Kvar ne'amar v'yal haneros lefnei Hashem katsir tziva Hashem es Moshe. It already says that they lit the candles in Shemos. Ve'enei mitzvah v'hamaisa niskarim menasim kvar. So everything was already mentioned about the menorah. So the Ramban says that this is not a new introduction of the mitzvah to light candles, but he says that was already mentioned in Shemos, and he argues with Rashi on that point. So what's the point? What's the purpose of this parsha? What's the purpose of this point in our parsha, Namor? About Tzorach HaParsha Zos L'Shnei Dvarim. So there's two purposes. Shesham Tziva Vayichu Elecha Shemen Zayis Zoch Me'es Bnei Yisrael. Klomar Me'es Kol Ish Asher Nimtza Ito Shemen Zayis Zoch L'Ma'or Im Shar Trumas HaMishkon. So over there in Tetzaveh, where did they get the olive oil from? So it was a donation of Klal Yisrael. Just like Klal Yisrael donated all the silver and the metal and everything, so too they donated the olive oil. And that's how it worked out, that the Nesiim ended up bringing all the Ketores, and they also brought the olive oil. The Afal Pi Sha'amar Sham Chukaso Lom Adorosam, even though it says there that that is the law for all generations, Hu Al Ha'aldaka, that's referring to lighting the candles. The Achshav Kala Hashem and Ahu Sheviu Hanesiim Nedava. So in our Parsha, in Vayikra, so what happened? They ran out of all the Shemen that the Nesiim brought back in Shmos. V'tziva Sheyichu Bnei Yisrael Mishal Tzibor Ledorosam Shemen Zayz Zach Kasisk Shemen Arishon. So now the Torah is telling us that just as they took the Shemen from Klal Yisrael back then, so too, now, even after the fact, we always collect the Shemen from Klal Yisrael, as donations from Klal Yisrael as a whole. Ketam v'yichu elecha para aduma, shivakshu osa v'yivu ha-tzibor. So the Jewish people, the leaders, are supposed to request from the tzibor, from the community, that they support and they bring in the olive oil for the menorah. So that's an interesting idea. Why was that the case? Why is it that the olive oil had to come from the Tzibor? Why couldn't it come from the leaders or the Beis HaMikdash itself? Why did it have to come from the Tzibor? Visham o lo amar el yaruch oso aron vanav v'haya b'mashma al menorah o belo menorah im tishaver o tovad kasher haya b'shuva min agola. So the other is that over there it sounds like they should light the candles whether or not the menorah was broken or the menorah was missing, and they should still light candles in the Beis HaMikdash. The Achshav Amar Beferish Al HaMenorah HaTohora Shelo Yadliku Ela Menorah Tohora. So now the Torah is telling us another principle. So it's teaching us two ideas. One is that the menorah, the Shemen Zayis, came from the Tzibor, from the community at large. And the second is that you can't light the candles separate from the menorah. They have to be lit on the Menorah HaTohora. So if the menorah was broken, you couldn't light it on it. If you didn't have a menorah, you can't just light candles randomly. It has to be on the Menorah HaTohora. So the question is why? What's that idea? What's the Havamina? Why would you think not? Umedrash Rabosinu. Now he quotes a different medrash. Al HaMenorah HaTohora. What does it mean on the menorah that's tahor? Al Tahara Shel Menorah. On the purity of the menorah. Shelo Yismachem Biksamim Uvitzroros. So you shouldn't prop up or support the candles with ksamim, with wood or with pebbles. But it should be directly on the menorah. Yaruch Esaneros Lefnei Hashem Shlo Yitakim Yibachutz V'yachnes. You shouldn't set up the candles outside the Beis HaMikdash and then bring it in. Tamid Af B'Shabbos, Tamid Af B'Tuma. And it should always be lit, even on Shabbos and even B'Tuma. So what's this idea of Ner Tamid? The Medrash that the Ramban is quoting is saying these ideas about the menorah. Is there a connection between all the points the Ramban makes? One is he says that it had to be Mishal Tzibor. The second idea is that he's saying that it wasn't broken, or that you couldn't light it on something other than the menorah tahora. And then he brings down this medrash that it has to be that the candles are directly linked to the menorah itself. There can't be any hefsek, there can't be any wood chips or pebbles lifting up the candles. And he also says that you can't align them outside the mikdash and then bring them in, and it always has to be lit. So what's that idea? Is there one unity to the concept over here of the Ner Tamid, of the idea of the Ner Tamid, according to the Ramban? So one last point, and then I'll put the Ramban, and we'll just summarize this here. So one last point is the Mizrahi, which the Gur Aryeh quoted before, and he says like this in source number 8. Aval yesh letzmoa Rashi zal. So there's a question on Rashi. Madua hevi hamedra shedarshu b'toras kohanim gabe ala shulchan atar al taro shel shulchan shelo yehu hasnifin magbien. So Rashi brings down a similar medrash by the shulchan, that you shouldn't have any wood chips or anything that's mafsik in the shulchan, that breaks up the shulchan from the lechem upon him. But he doesn't bring it over here. V'lo hevi amedrash yedarshi b'toras kohanim ala menorah torash al tarash al menorah shal yismachem b'ksamim v'tzroros. So he doesn't bring down the medrash of the Ramban. So the Mizrahi, he wants to know, why doesn't Rashi bring down the medrash of the Ramban, and he only brings down his medrash? So he says, Shiagbiyam migav ha-menorah, eliyu minochem al-gav ha-menorah, mamish bilti shemavdo ben ha-menorah v'haneros. So why doesn't he bring this idea down that the candles have to be directly linked to the menorah? There can't be anything in between the candle bowls and the menorah. So maybe you'll say that the Medrash that the Ramban brings down would only be applicable by the Shulchan. Because by the Shulchan, they did have to support the Chala, the Lechma Panim, with external support. So you might think, or you shouldn't think, that you could be mafsik between the Shulchan and the Chala in a different way. That's why the Medrash teaches us al shulchan atar, al gabo shel shulchan. Shelo yasim snifin gam bein shulchan v'achala. So he says that Rashi, he quotes this Medrash by the shulchan because it's more applicable, because you might think it should be okay over there. Aval gabi menorah ein sham makom kisamim otzroro shiag bihim migav haminorah lama yitzdarech hakasav lichtov al menorah hatorah al gabo shel menorah shelo yasim tzroro suksamim shiag biha neros ma'al menorah. So he says that there's no reason to assume that you'd be allowed to do that by the menorah. So that's why Rashi doesn't bring down the Medrash. But what's the value of the Medrash? What's the concept that the Ramban is hinting at the idea of Ner Tamim? So one last point. I think it's a deep idea. So what's the concept? Why can you have a hefsek between the menorah and the neros? So it sounds like the idea is that the neros are part of the kli of the menorah. That the neros, they're not really separate from the menorah itself, but they're really part of the kli. And only, the kli only functions, or is only complete, when the neros are lit. When they're lit and the menorah is functioning fully, that's when the kli is complete. The actual menorah itself is completed as a menorah when the candles are lit. But when the candles aren't lit, it's lacking in its identity as a menorah. But it seems like the idea of Ner Tamid and the idea of the menorah, that it had to be connected to the menorah, and the concept that it had to be all the time, is that the menorah was a fixture of the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't really meant to be moved. It wasn't portable, but it was something that was a fixture of the Beis HaMikdash, and its tamidus, the idea of the tamidus of the Ner, is the concept that the menorah itself is almost like a permanent fixture of the Beis HaMikdash. And there's a raya for this idea. I was looking in my Mishkan Hashem book. I have this picture book of all the kelim that I use whenever I do my Shnai Mikra, and we get to the Mishkan, I look through this book, and you see that the menorah never had any poles to carry it. It doesn't really have any poles, but the other kelim, the Aron had poles, and the Shulchan had poles, and the Mizbeach HaZav had poles, and the Mizbeach Nechoshes had poles, and the poles in the Mishkan were meant, except for the Aron, were meant to carry them. But by the menorah, it didn't really have poles, but yet it would still move when the Mishkan moved. But what's the idea of it not having any poles? So the concept is that the menorah was meant to be fixed, a fixed entity in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. It wasn't really meant or defined as a portable entity. That's not part of its definition. It's different. It's really part of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Neros are also part of the menorah. They're a component of that menorah. So that's the idea of Ner Tamid. What's the concept of a Ner always being lit? It's the idea that the menorah is a permanent fixture of, it's like an immovable piece of furniture in the Beis HaMikdash. It's like part of the very fabric of the Mikdash itself is the menorah. And it's not portable. It's not something that could be taken out. You can't arrange it outside and bring it back in. It always had to be lit. It always had to be functioning in the Beis HaMikdash as the kli, because it was a permanent entity, or it was a permanent part of the Beis HaMikdash itself, of the Mishkan itself. It was almost part of the fabric. It's as if it was bolted down to the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, and it was a component of it, just like the walls are a component of it. So too the menorah was as well. And the Neros, the idea of the Tamidus of the Neros is reflecting that idea about the menorah, that the menorah is part of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's really permanent. And the Neros themselves were not just a fixture, or not just an element of the menorah, but they were actually part of the kli of the menorah itself. Okay, so I think that's what the Ramban is hinting at, and that's why it had to be from the Tzibor, that it wasn't like it was part of the Beis HaMikdash, and because it's part of the Beis HaMikdash, it has to come from the Tzibor, the olive oil has to come from the Tzibor. It was actually a component of the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't a separate entity on its own. Okay, so I think that explains the Ramban's idea. So let me just put everything together. So we just looked at the idea of the Ner Tamid. So we actually have it in the Beis Knesset as well. But what's the idea of the Ner Tamid? So there's four different approaches, really. Rashi says that the Ner Tamid, based on the Gemara, is a reference to the Ner Maravi. And there was a special quality to the Ner Maravi, that it was an Eidos, that it functioned as a testimony to the presence of Hashem amongst Klal Yisrael. So we said the main question on that piece was, what does it mean, L'chol Baye Olam? It was really in a concealed spot, so not everybody could see it. So how did it function? So the idea is that Hashem chose this nace of the, this miracle, that there would be a candle that was lit far beyond it was supposed to be lit, was chosen as the perfect nace that would appeal to humanity as a whole, not just to the Jewish people, not just to certain entities or ethnicities, but to all of humanity as the proof, as the one miracle that reflects on the Shekhinah. So that's the idea of Eidus L'chol Ba'i Olam. It means that it's the miracle that if you told anybody, if you talk about it, and if you teach it and you learn about it, it should be something that appeals to everybody, to basic human nature. The second idea was the Gur Aryeh. He says that the Ner itself didn't function as Eidus, but it helped the Paroches. It almost functions with the Paroches to shed light and to shed interest and awareness of the Luchos, which are really the Luchos Eidus. And the Luchos bring us back to the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, and that's really the purpose of the Ner Maravi. It functions in line with the Paroches, and that's why it's Le Paroches Ha'idus, that the Paroches can only really be a Paroches Ha'idus when the Ner Maravi is lit, because together they all function in order to bring an awareness of the presence of the Aron and the Luchos. Then there's the Rambam. The Rambam says it's Kavod. It's the idea of Kavod, that you don't turn the light out, and you don't just like turn your mind off like you would a closet. You're not allowed to shut it down. It always has to be functioning and lit. You always have to be aware of it and its presence. And finally, the last idea is the Ramban. The Ramban says that really the idea of Tmidas is tied to the role of the menorah, I think, that the Neros themselves were part of the menorah, and the menorah itself was a permanent feature of the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't portable. It wasn't something that was meant to be removed. And even though from a practical standpoint, when they traveled, they had to take it apart and they had to move, not take it apart, but they had to take it down and move with it. But that wasn't its function. It's really functioned to be a component or a permanent element of the Beis HaMikdash as opposed to other kelim. Okay, so that's really the share tonight on this idea of Ner Tamid. So anybody have any questions or want to add anything? All right, everybody have a great Shabbos. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you, Ari.
Thank you.